Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. We're positively here at Greenmount Station. We're in Hempstead, beautiful Carroll County. Pastoral. They have horses, not like these horses, but they have horses here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at GBMC, Farnan and Dermer. Zach has left the building. Luke has entered. Casper Wells is here, former big leaguer. He sells insurance for Heller Kowitz, and he talks baseball with us and watches soccer. And apparently this is going to be a basketball segment because these guys are all nixed up. Howard Scher is my lifer pal. Significant in that he was my original Oriole reporter. We met at a Baltimore Skipjacks game in 1983-84, and he stuck with me 42 years later. We don't mention the Cancun trip, but I will gladly tell you about it if you write me Ness at BaltimorePositive.com.
I think you've mentioned it quite a few times.
Luke, I got a phone call 2 weeks ago. This guy goes back so far to when you and I were working together doing Hump and Howard and Critics' Choice DJ. A guy out of Philadelphia did a sports broadcasting camp, and he would want you. I offered you up. You didn't even know it, but I told him I could get you. He, for 25 years, he's come in with these young people, and a couple of them have gone on to work at ESPN. I had one of them on my show who became an ESPN anchor who came back. Jeremy Treatment, he's a good guy. You can look up sports broadcasting play-by-play. He called me 2 weeks ago. He's like, hey, I need a speaker in Baltimore. I'm like, well, you don't want me. I mean, you know, I've done it. I haven't done it in 10 years, but I did it a bunch of times. And I said, I have this Luke guy. He's a young whippersnapper, and he might work out fine. Matter of fact, I heard he had a background in education. So I need to know how your sports brought. Sell this to Casper. Tell Casper what you did because he doesn't know it, but I offered him up because he's always looking for like somebody around that can talk to him, and he likes having ball players. He and Kobe Bryant were very, very close in life throughout Kobe's life, and he's a good man, and he hit me up and put a few nickels in your pocket, and you wore these kids out today. So you had a – where's your curriculum? I know – come on, dude.
My curriculum? It was a sheet of paper, and that was it.
You got a syllabi?
Yeah, I had my general lesson plan, and then
Is it in that book?
No, it's not. It's in the car.
He came for the American Idol competition in 2008. He had a complete – you can look it up on the internet. He's wearing a Haloti Nada jersey. Looks a little younger than he looks now.
Little.
But when he did
little.
The tryout for this gig, not knowing – how awful it was going to turn out for him. He was a fifth grade school teacher for many years in Southern Pennsylvania. So I sent him back to kids today. So I just felt like I felt like I was doing Jeremy a favor. I felt like I was doing you a favor, and I certainly was doing these kids a favor.
It was fun.
Because they avoided me.
It was fun. I mean, it was. I think the age range was like late elementary, so probably like fourth or fifth grade through entering senior year of high school. So you have kids who are maybe just dreaming of the idea of being in sports media, sports communications. And you had others who were like, hey, like I mentioned, I went to Syracuse for a couple of years. And like a couple of them, you could
He's
tell.
He's impressed by that.
Yeah.
But
it was just, it was, yes. Yeah. I noticed I said a couple years and that was it. I certainly didn't stay there for the duration or beyond that. But it was just fun because I remember being 10 years old and I remember playing baseball or playing football and thinking, okay, this probably isn't going to happen for me beyond maybe college if I'm lucky.
Kevin Eck and I put together typeset a wrestling magazine when we were in eighth grade in our summer. We made our own wrestling rankings. We styled it. And 2 years later, I was working at the newspaper doing that work. Mm-hmm. So it's all I've ever done. But when I went and saw the light in these kids' eyes 20 years ago, they had sort of lousy equipment. We were still on the videotape kind of. And then it went to like a little bit digital. I can't imagine. I haven't given this speech in probably 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
How far we've come where these kids can videotape each other with the phones. We weren't there. The last time I spoke to the group, they had cameras still. There was no, we're going to videotape each other with our phones. That's how far back generationally.
Yeah.
That's why you were the right guy to speak to them and not me, because I think these kids are so much further along. They can all have their own YouTube channel today if they, you know, like there's so much more you can do. That's all I would say.
Yeah, there's so much more you can do, but I think the basics are still really important, right? I think a background in writing, I think reading, becoming an expert. I mean, that I came up with five bullet points, which weren't the end all be all by any means, but one of the first things I said was be an expert. For anyone who's going to read or listen or watch what you're doing, teach them something.
God, I love this.
It's entertainment, but generally if you're going to listen to a podcast or listen to the radio or you're watching, I mean, even the game itself, you know, some of these kids are interested in doing play-by-play or color analysis.
And when you have a big league player like Casper Wells sitting next to you, you have to know your ish, yeah, right? You always respected him. I feel like I'm talking to the kids now watching this, but like that, I think that would be your role in going to them and saying, hey, I played in the big leagues, but I'm here to answer your questions, and I'm accountable, and if I strike out, you ask me questions. Like, you know, all those kinds of things that have that are important about teaching young people, because the fanboy part of it in being there is one thing, but they really, I mean, they're there trying to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
And I treated them as such, and I know you did too.
Yeah, I mean, I had one kid that asked me about, it was clear he had done his homework, and he was a high school kid, obviously, but he asked me about the proposals for the salary cap that the owners have put out there for this upcoming CBA and this inevitable lockout that hopefully isn't going to cost us a whole season, but it's certainly going to wipe out the offseason.
Well, you're on vacation 2 weeks. Let's book him on a show.
But yeah, but I was just first. I mean, before I even got into it, and he was asking me what I thought appropriate parameters would be, and I said I'm not going to blow smoke here. I don't know, but what I do know is when I was younger than you, there was a World Series canceled because the owners wanted the same thing, and the players were so dug in that they didn't want that for obvious reasons. But just the fact that he asked that question, I mean, that was impressive. And, you know, I mean, most of these kids were from the Baltimore area, so there were questions about Jesse Minter, and there were questions about Craig Albernaz and all that. But there was just a lot of curiosity, and I thought that was interesting beyond, you know, what's Lamar Jackson like? What's Gunnar Henderson like? Which is totally fine.
Nobody asked what your jerk boss was doing today?
No one asked
about
you.
They didn't AI me? Good.
They didn't do enough research.
I know, right? But it was just fun, and I started off by just asking them questions like, okay, first of all, I started out, raise your hand if you like sports, you know, and obviously everyone raises their hand. Raise your hand if you know exactly what you want to do when you grow up.
Did he videotape this?
I think they were putting it on social or something like that. Jeremy wasn't there. It was John and some of his other people.
Luke.
But I just,
I should go on vacation. You should do the show.
But I went through my story and said, look, I went to school for journalism originally and then thought at age 19 I didn't want to do that, and I went into teaching and I taught for 5 years and I have no regrets, but 2 years into that I realized, hey, I still have the sports media bug, and I mentioned the competition, like you said, basically American Idol for sports media, and here we are all these years later, I'm doing it. I said, I'm not famous or rich, but I've got a house, I've got food, I get to go to games and talk about it and write about it and everything.
Yeah.
And I said, that's great. And I said, I will root for you to all be way more successful than me. But if you get to do something that I've been blessed to do for as long as I have, that's pretty darn cool. And, you know, that my last point for them was, don't get jaded about it. Have fun with this.
That's why I'm trying to go to Boston with you month.
But
not having any fun, you and me.
See, I disagree. I have fun every time I go.
You like getting out of bed at 6 in the morning after being up all night?
But
you
like
talking about not getting hit till the 6th inning?
Yeah, because it still beats what other people do for a living.
Right.
And I say that with no disrespect to anyone else.
He sucks ducks.
And my overall...
He's selling insurance.
My overall point... And look, there are all kinds of great jobs out there. But, you know, for someone who's into sports, and, you know, one thing I told them, and I can't remember... I have no idea who told me this. I've heard this from someone before I even met you. And the overall point was, like the sports, love the writing. And I said, just love the work. And, you know, my point with that is, look, I'm not going to sit here and say you don't love sports. We all love sports, obviously. But you need to love, you know, whatever form of medium that you're using, whether it's radio or writing or whatever it is. You need to be as excited about that, because my job isn't to go to the Orioles game and root for the Orioles. That's not what this is about. I cover the Orioles, meaning I'm going to talk about the good, I'm going to talk about the bad, I'm going to talk about the indifferent, I'm going to see what's going to happen next. And, you know, the idea of wanting them to be excited about that part of it, as at least as much as, wow, I'm getting to cover Major League Baseball. And so, you know, these were just, I tried to think about how I was at age 10, how I might have been at age 14, how I might have been at age 18. And, like, you know, the cliched thing of writing a letter to yourself, right? The idea of what pieces of advice would I give them that I think would have helped me at that age. And I hope they, you know, it was about 40 kids. I'm hoping if 3 of those kids take some little morsel of something I said and apply it at some point, then then that was worth it, right? I mean, then it was cool and all of that. And you know, they like getting pictures and all that, which, again, that was like, I'm just like, I'm not a big deal. But I'm hoping you're all way more famous than me. But I said to him, going back to that expert piece, I said, in 30 years when I'm retired and I'm seeing you on ESPN or listening to your podcast, you better teach me something because you need to be the expert. So it was fun. Like, it was a cool experience. And going back to, you know, your joke about us not having any fun and all that, it's a reminder of this is a lot of fun and this is entertainment at the end of the day. And, you know, I talk about this a lot with you. The experience of being a fan, look, we want our teams to win. Most of the time, there's more disappointment than success.
0 for 43.
The Knicks are a great example of that right now, yeah. Right? 50 years. But it's about the experiences. It's about the people, you know, not just like the players or the coaches, but going to games with your dad, going to games with your mom, listening to games with your grandfather when you're a kid. All those things. I remember those experiences way more than who won that game, who hit a home run that day, who was the winning pitcher, who scored a touchdown with 3 minutes to go. Like, I mean, I think about those.
Like when you meet your lifelong buddy Howie at a minor league hockey game with 1,200 people there.
And we could,
and they're playing a team from Schenectady or worse, Utica.
but a cool part of this,
I think it was
is,
Binghamton that day, and I'm not bullshitting you. It was Binghamton. I'm pretty sure it was the Whalers.
But a cool part, like going back to the, you know, players are people. And, you know, I think – one thing that I try to be cognizant of working in media is that's a human being that has been extremely successful getting to the point where they are now, regardless of where they might rank in the major leagues. They're still incredible at what they do. But to also remember, there's a person behind that. I told the story, you know, I'll share one of the anecdotes that I shared today with the kids. One of my favorite memories covering the Orioles, like I can mention Delmon Young and covering them in the playoffs and all kinds of different stuff like that. But I remember Henry Urrutia was a Cuban player, made it to the Orioles a little over a decade ago. It was one of Dan Duquette's very few international signings because we know how Peter Angelos did not prioritize that part of the world in terms of signing.
Contemporary of yours, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Urrutia. Yeah. But he, 2015, I think he might have had a cup of coffee in 13, and then 15, he was back with the Orioles for a short time. He hit a walk-off home run against the Mets in July, August of 2015, something like that. I think he had fewer than 100 plate appearances in his career. But that post-game, he got the ball back. His son had been born 3 months, 4 months before that. His son was an infant, like legitimately an infant in a car seat. And he got so emotional just talking about reflecting on what that meant, the fact that he's going to be able to give that ball to his son someday. This is an individual who defected from Cuba. You think about his life story, getting to that moment. And he got a little teary-eyed, but not overwhelmingly. He spoke great English. This was in the days where they didn't have official interpreters.
They didn't have a Q
in the way they do now. Now, you know, then it was maybe a player would do it or he'd speak in broken English, but spoke phenomenal English. And I remember looking around at the 7 or 8 other reporters that were in the scrum. Everyone had was choked up. Like, it was amazing. It was one of the most incredible experiences because you're just thinking, he's going to tell his not just his son about that when he's grown, but he's going to tell his grandkids.
Well, you've already mentioned your first home run because
you
don't forget when, you know.
But as a journalist, you get to be such a small part in telling that story.
Sure.
And that's something that as much as the 13th straight day I'm out in Owings Mills for training camp and it's 98 degrees and everything feels the same and every question's the same, I remember moments like that where I'm just like, it's pretty cool.
Something special might happen tonight. Right?
And there you go. Right. There's something that is not even a footnote in Orioles history, but in the Urrutia family, that's going to be a story that's told probably for four generations.
What's your favorite baseball story? You played, all of us would have liked to have had one sniff to strike out one time. We would have liked to have struck out 100 times in a row in the big leagues if we could have gotten there. What is your moment? What's your best memory in baseball?
That's real easy. It was getaway day. We're playing the Yankees.
Who are you playing for?
I was on the Mariners.
Mariners, okay.
So I'm in it's Mother's Day. My mom comes in my hotel room. I got like tan suit with a pink undershirt. I still have a picture of it. I can share it with you.
So you're in New York?
We're in New York.
Okay.
My mom comes in. She says, hey, honey. And it's May.
How long have you been in the big leagues at this point?
This is the second, 2012. So
it's still new to you. It's still
2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a year after I got traded to the Mariners. So, But at that point in the season, I just had a handful of at-bats. I was kind of playing like playing intermittently. Had no home runs to date and no RBIs. My mom comes in and says, "Hey, can you? I want you to home run for me today." And I was like, "Funny thing is my mom. Anytime she requests a home run for me in the minors, she did it seldomly, but anytime she did, I hit a home run. Just whatever." I'm
well,
like,
you were just trying to get in at bat that day, correct?
No, I was starting.
You knew you were playing. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I knew I was starting because it was I was starting against Andy Pettit, who coming back off a rehab.
Okay.
In a sold out Yankee Stadium on Mother's Day, so I knew I was playing. Very much knew I was playing. So did my whole family growing up.
What's a home game for you? Because of where you're from, right?
Yeah. So it was. So there's just. It was almost like so much pressure and so much. It was just so much anxiety that I almost was like kind of.
Had you played at Yankee Stadium yet or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's not first time in. Okay.
No. So I was like almost calm because it was like overwhelming. Like play. Cause I grew up. I was a Yankees fan. I watched Andy Pettit. Watched the World Series. You know. I mean, like Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit was everything growing up. Like watching them. So I was just like, okay. My sister was. That's her favorite player. My one sister. She was like, you know, take it easy, Andy Pettit. But you know, not really.
3-for-4, dude. Let's go.
Anyway, I hit a home run off the foul right field foul pole, and my second at bat. You know, pointing up to the stands, and it was an unbelievable moment. Like you know,
that's
and
really cool.
I'm never going to top that Mother's Day for my.
Well,
for my
I mean,
mom.
I would just say, look, like
mom,
listen,
you know, I'm not going to be able to get you a gift better than that, but you know,
I'm jaded as hell. 35 yeah. years, right? Like sitting here hearing you tell the story, I can't begin to tell you how many big league ball players I know, or how many are in my phone, or how many I've sat with. Crowley hangs out over here all the time. I was trying to get him in. I think for Howard and our 42 years and Luke and I 20 years, anytime you sit with a big league, somebody hit a home run in the big, just one home run in the big leagues, you know, I mean, that's not a small thing.
That's an exclusive
subset. That's not a small thing.
Subset
I mean, it just
of
isn't,
the population.
You know? It just isn't.
That is a
it's
very
a
exclusive
thing.
Subset. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so awesome.
That is awesome. So I love to hear that story. Yeah. Casper Wells is here. He sells insurance at Heller Cowitz. Luke is here. He teaches young people and old people. I think, and Howard's one of my oldest friends in the world. He always likes to say, I held Barry on his lap while he on his watching hockey all the time. So we have pictures of little Barry.
You should recreate that photo at this point. It'd be really
no,
funny.
No, thank you. Right, you could.
Big Barry?
Yeah. Taller than me now, right?
My kid's older than him, right? How old are you?
41.
Yeah, my son's born in 84. We went through this, didn't we?
84, yeah.
Yeah, September 84.
And I'm slightly older than Barry.
Right.
I'll be 43 in October.
Well, Howard and I, we were 43 once. We went to Cancun that year, I think, as I remember.
Yeah.
So listen, I've made a lot of poor decisions. You've seen this in our relationship, right?
Yes.
You would agree that the best decision I've made recently was sending Luke instead of me to these kids today, right? You would agree with that?
100%.
Yeah, all right. We sent the right guy.
Because they would have gone home and told their parents who came and spoke, and the parents would have said, we wasted our money today.
What could I possibly teach these kids that they don't already know?
Right.
You would have done a fine job. I've seen you interact.
I wouldn't
with
have
kids.
Had syllabi.
You're way better interacting with kids than you're giving yourself credit for. Seriously.
No, he is good with kids.
Yeah, I've seen you know at live shows we've done over the years, or you know, just young kids or someone with special needs. Or
I want to be
like
alive
that.
After awesome. I die so I can hear what you all really have to say about me when it's over with.
No, I was just saying about kids.
You're being now, way too nice to me. You're
now
not,
everyone else
you
interact
nice
with, that's you know, that's right. A different story.
But I mean, you told me I was good with something. This is the first time ever.
Chad Steele told me to build you up a little bit today.
Don't start.
Okay.
Don't start. I got fresh information. You don't want.
Uh-oh.
You don't want to. Don't crank me up.
All right.
Luke and I have already fought about this twice this week, so you don't want.
Okay.
Right.
Just once.
On to the next topic.
But it was a really bad fight, so it was like twice. We don't fight much. Okay. But when reporters are being mistreated, Luke would probably tell you I am nastier off the air than I am on the air. Right, you would agree with that.
Yeah.
I am. It's no joke to me. Like it's just on for me. So anyway, it's baseball season, All-Star game, which is the reason you guys wanted to talk NBA. I want to give you some latitude to do that, and we'll do All-Star game. Is that you don't want to do NBA?
I mean,
you're a Knicks fan.
I'm just throwing
Knicks
it out there. I'm like,
won.
Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah,
it's Knicks
I'm just
won.
Happy the Knicks won. Yeah, it's fine. It's baseball season.
How does
it's
your
fine.
Brother-in-law feel about this with the Sixers thing? And then the Wizards get the
what?
First pick.
You mean with the Knicks winning?
Yeah. I mean, are people pissed? Is there anybody mad about that? Nobody ever hated the Knicks. Not even the Nets.
I don't know about that.
Who hates the Knicks?
But
Reggie
do.
Miller.
I don't know. I think
you I
do.
Mean, they didn't. They never beat anybody.
I always
My dad, he's been dead 30 years. They beat the Bullets. My dad had no use for the Knicks. Yeah. Clyde, none of them. The Buescher, none of them.
I don't know. You get to a certain point, and I felt this way, honestly, even about the Red Sox in 04, and I grew up in Baltimore. I've been an Orioles fan from the time I was a baby, right? But when you do have these long droughts, and it's one reason why at this point in my life, if I'm being completely honest, an Orioles World Series would mean a heck of a lot more to me than the Ravens winning another Super Bowl, which I've covered one and I experienced both.
I think that everybody would agree with that.
Right, right. But I'm just saying, like, you get to a point, and I think the Knicks, for despite it being New York and Dolan and so much of the perception of the franchise for a long time, and that still exists, even with the Charles Oakley feud and all that, when you have that kind of a drought, it's really easy as a sports fan to at least put aside, not that you're going to root for them, but understand that there are kids and fathers and grandfathers and multiple generations that can, and family members that aren't with us anymore, and that kind of, you get into those feelings a little bit where I think you can, like, I was
never, I feel that way about the U.S. World Cup right now. Like they're doing something that they haven't done.
And all
the young kids that are into soccer, all the Carl Delmont's kids that he brought around here for years, like, this is good for them that it's happening in America right now.
But like the Knicks, like,
it's
the thing,
2 weeks here.
I thought about it just looking through the lens of, okay, that was 1973. The Orioles, their drought's only 10 years younger than what that drought was. So, you know, you think about it through that lens. I mean, you know, my dad's been gone over 20 years now. Like, that was something that we always talked about as far as, like, an Orioles World Series. I was 2 weeks old when they last won the World Series.
And my dad died after the last one. He died happy.
My dad was an usher at the old stadium. He skipped out working on the World Series to be home with my mom and me. I mean, like, that's what kind of father he was, but it was also, like, that's cool. So, like, when that happens one day, oh, my gosh, whether I'm still doing media or not, hopefully it happens before.
Dude,
but
I'll say this.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel good for people who get
to exercise those demons and enjoy it with their family and their friends and everybody.
I did all the archive stuff, right? And Zach Dermer was here earlier. He was asking me about Ken Rosenthal and covering the Orioles in the 80s. And you didn't know how well I knew Rosenthal. And I'm like, Kenny and I have been 40 years intersecting through all this. But I found something that even predates him, and it predates my newspaper. I have all this stuff in boxes. It's a lot, but it's not a lot. But I had newspaper sections. And there were the ones that I put out in the 80s, which, you know, was the Fred Lynn, Don Ossie, you know, why not sections. But I have the 79 and the 83 and the 66 sections. You know, the special inserts with all the World Series predictions and all the old ads and all that. So I went through that, and I'm just like, man, just touching that stuff with Scott McGregor and Mike Flanagan on it and looking through all that old stuff. I want that for the city.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
we all do.
Yeah. So that's where, you know, even though I'm not a Knicks fan or, you know, I'm a Sixers fan, but you see something like that, it's just like, wow, that's.
You feel complete, Casper, with this Knicks thing, really? I mean.
It helps, yeah, for the New York fandom. Like, yeah, I mean, I think to contrary to what you're saying, though, I would have liked to see the Eagles never win a Super Bowl ever.
Fair enough.
Being a diehard Giants fan, no. You hear the stories, and it's great. You know, even my father-in-law, my wife's side of the family, they're all Eagle fans. So,
you have to live with it. So that's
but that's part of it.
But who has hated the Knicks for 50 years to hate on them? Other than the team they beat, obviously, right? But in and they've won before. Yeah. But in a general sense, the Orioles would if the Orioles ever caught fire, they would be the good guys, right? Because of the town, because of the Yankees, because of the Red Sox, it would be perceived as such.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you're talking about whether it's an underdog thing or whether it's just a team that hasn't won much, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, I think back to the 90s, being a kid that grew up in the 90s, I mean, Bulls versus Knicks, some of those playoff series, and Pacers versus Knicks, with Reggie Miller.
I remember both of those.
Yeah, but I think about that, and, you know, but at the same time, then you do kind of take a step back from whatever your fandom might be or whatever rival teams you dislike. Again, just knowing what that experience is, it is cool.
I mean, you see those guys there at the games, too, and they show them all the time when you're watching the games. It's similar to whenever the Mariners eventually make it to the World Series and win one, it's going to be similar because you see all those guys, because when I played in the Mariners, all they talked about was that team with the 100 wins.
The Buehner team.
They just kept talking about it, and it's like, man, you got – guys got to stop talking about this. You know, they end up, right. I mean, like, you know, we're here now, you know, but it's like, what could have been?
Was it 118 wins? Was that the number? Was
in 01? What, Ichiro's rookie year?
100.
Something like that.
Yeah, just like an outrageous thing. Yeah.
And they've never been to a World Series, which is crazy. Last year, one game away, right?
Hey, Vikings fans talk about Billick and 15-1 and Randall Cunningham in that year. They haven't made it either. So, I mean, and I don't know what the Lamar thing. There will be a generation as it goes on. It's been how many? By the way, I got a copy of Purple Ring, too, that I gave to Casper. So it's been 13 years, right? We're 13
going
years?
Going on 14. I mean.
Wow, I gave him an extra year. It's going 14.
Like this coming year is 14.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, but all those wins, you know, when your team, you know, whether you're.
Yeah, I'm a Giants fan. Let's talk about the 15 years that we just had. Like, okay. Right. Like,
but,
I mean, I'll take that.
But all those years.
See, I think of the Giants as a winning organization. I feel like it's like feeling bad for Red Sox people right now. F them. You won.
Sure,
plenty.
Sure. But
you won enough.
But in those instances,
well, I want my kids to be Giants fans. Okay, let's put that.
So
we got Harbaugh now.
I was going to say you got to be excited about John Harbaugh. Right?
I'm
anyone listening, anyone here locally wouldn't be
so happy. Yeah.
So, when you end one of those droughts, or when you win like Seattle, when the Mariners, whenever it happens.
Yeah,
it's that
who's
much
the
more
biggest
gratifying?
Sack of crap at this point? Not the Mariners or one of these teams that have never won because they didn't come along till the 70s or whatever. Is there
70s is a long time ago though, man.
No, it is not. Like, I lived through.
Yeah,
you know what the hell you're talking about. 70s are 10 minutes.
No,
ago.
I'm just saying. Like, and it's funny because I think of it too. Like as a kid in the late 80s and the 90s, it's like, oh well, the Blue Jays aren't that old, and Seattle's not that old. Now they are.
My rock and roll belt buckles. They got my Rod Stewart today. These belt buckles are 50 years old. Every
time
I touch
one, they're
older than me. I'm like, they're 50 years old. They're and I'm like, it feels like 5 minutes ago I bought it at the KB at East Point Mall. I feel the same way. But like, so who? I mean, the Guardians, right? Yeah. I mean, they made movies about them for you. But I'm trying to think of sad sap organizations.
Maple Leafs?
Oh, right. That doesn't mean anything in America, but that, I mean, that resonates to me. He's a hockey
guy. Because they were showing all the, I think I remember seeing Maple Leafs.
I mean, are there any, the Knicks would have been the saddest sack NBA other than the Wizards, but they don't really, they're not a relevant team, or saying like the Atlanta Hawks or something. I'm trying to think about like.
I mean, the Browns?
The Browns.
When you actually consider
the Browns,
when you
the
consider
Browns, no hope, so.
The Browns,
when
right.
you consider what their history was, going back to the All American Football right, Conference,
man.
And you know Paul Brown and Otto Graham and all of that, and for what it's been for as long
didn't
as
we
it's
just
been?
Do that with Cleveland with the Cavaliers? Are we done with that? They won. The city won.
I mean, the Cavs won, but dude,
all right, so
as somebody who likes
so
the NBA,
our
the NFL's
conclusion
king,
at the end of this is I wrap this thing up with Casper and Luke and Howard is Cleveland are still bigger losers than us, right? Is that right?
Probably true.
That is. I've come to that conclusion.
Someone get Daryl Ryder on the phone.
The problem is he would agree with me with all this bobbleheads.
He actually would. Him. Yeah, yeah.
Casper, tell everybody what you're doing out there these days besides being the runner-up, although you'll always be my champion, for the Visionary of the Year with Blood Cancer United. And I didn't even say LLS, but that's what it used to be. But I've caught on. Kate Paris was on last week doing yoga. She was a former competitor.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, I do a lot, but I keep going to LLS, Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Sure.
They are now Blood Cancer United, and that's what you represent.
Yeah. So, I mean, the campaign was great overall. We ended up raising over $110,000. You know, for all intents and purposes, we won. You know, everyone's a winner. You know, personal ties. My aunt passed away 20 years ago from multiple myeloma, and there's been such advances in medicine and research that, you know, if it was this day and age, she might be still around.
I wake up with
a
miracle every day of my life, and everybody in my world is why these guys have witnessed it. Literally, been a big part of it, quite frankly. So yeah, it's amazing how it touches everyone in one way or another. And you're out in the front lines raising money. And then next year, who are you putting up? You putting Coates up next year? What are we doing?
I don't know. We got a couple hires in, so we might have to pass the torch on to them. We'll see.
What's Coates doing? Let's get his kid. Let's do the weather. Let's go. Bring him in from Kansas City. Let's go.
Yeah, have him do the blood cancer. Yeah, I don't know.
I challenge you, Brian Coates.
It's still a little fresh. We're gonna let it simmer a little. Get through the summer and then
tell him
we'll
it's for Clemson. He'll be there. You know, just tell him.
Oh yeah, it's Clemson. He will.
You
he would
he
be
will.
There. Well, his daughter's going to Clemson next year, so he'll be. Yeah, so he'll be there. Yeah.
Oh, he'll get good peaches down there. I know that much. Luke will be here. We have been up late at night, but Luke will be at the ballpark. The Washington Nationals are in town. Howie is in mourning. Hockey season's over, right? You the Orioles. You know, keep you.
Everybody
going,
in my house is a little happy.
Tell them about sucking ducks around here and all the things. I was trying to explain to Farn and Dermer, who are our sponsors, a little while ago, about all the grossness you sucked out of my radio station. Which
that is true.
He said, when's the last time your duck sucked? I'm like, 19. He's like, that's a bad answer, right?
Right.
So begins with a 19. It was too long ago.
Yeah, I mean, they say every 3 to 5 years, depending on environmental factors, allergies.
I'm 4 years now.
Has it really been that long?
It's been four years.
You're probably due.
How do I do that? What do I do? Go to Duck. How do I find you?
DuckDoctorDMV.com. Call us 800-955.
What's just going to? What are you going to charge me? Seriously.
What am I going to charge you? Or what am I going to charge anybody?
If Jerry Coleman called you, what would you charge him?
Well.
All right, somebody neutral.
No. So, listen, the pricing is based on the number of HVAC systems in the home. So, it's flat rate pricing. You've got one, so the price is $655 right now.
All right. And you do all the rooms, no problem.
All the rooms, truck mounted
system. Dude, he brings a truck up with a... You see Ghostbusters?
Yeah,
remember in Egon? This is a little bit like that. They don't come in with the slime and all that, but there was some slime involved.
There was. We found some crazy stuff in people's ducts over the years.
Shit,
food
ducks,
that
you don't know.
Pieces of bread that have probably been there for years.
What, did a mouse take it up there?
Or a kid dropped it in the vent or something. And
or didn't want to eat it, had mustard on
right,
it.
The bread
I would have done that as a kid.
But
give me something with mustard, I'd have put it anywhere I could put it.
Let me tell you something I learned.
I put it in
bread's filled with preservatives because that bread was almost edible sitting in somebody's ducts. Like, it was hard. But it had not decayed at all. No, it was a piece of bread.
It was Wonder Bread then,
yeah,
for sure.
Is this why you wear Mr. Yuck Green? You trying to gross me out?
Yeah, I just wanted to stand out because I knew everybody else would be in neutral colors.
Howard's my friend. He's been my friend for 42 years. I love him dearly. Howard Sherr, Duck Doctors. Luke's with me, of course, and Casper Wells. We're here at Greenmount Station. It's all brought to you by our friends at Farnan and Dermer, GBMC, and our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Howard, you want Bay Bridge? Do you want Boardwalk? Would you like, hold on here, I got horses, I know your daughter's, Assateague horses, and the last one is, where do my mollusks, everybody took the mollusks, I don't have any mollusks to give you, sorry.
How about
Blackwater.
Boardwalk?
Boardwalk,
I could use a vacation.
Better than Cancun?
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the Cancun trip, Luke?
Do I want to know?
No. You don't want to know. The Led Zeppelin book was really good, though. You get that. And, of course, Casper, did you go horses or Bay Bridge last time? You took one or the other, didn't you?
I don't know. I don't know if we had those.
You got
is
kids?
This mine over here or is this someone else's?
No. Oh, you know what? That's yours. That's the the Blackwater. Okay, you got it right there.
Yeah.
Take the mollusks.
My kids love crabs. Since we came back here, we just got all crabs, and they're all on board for it. So
all
it's
right,
great.
Costas, nice. Next day, Costas Dundalk. There you go. Signing off from Greenmount Station. Baseball season's on. World Cup's up. 4th of July is around the corner. Make sure you're on the WNST Tech Service. All brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Luke will keep you informed whenever we get a center, right? Because that's really the story here, right?
We think.
We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.